afternoon and welcome to the Jason Ranch Show on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo. Bob Ferguson is pretending to care about public safety, so he went to King 5 for some softball questions. That is what's trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
Bob Ferguson is pretending that his top priority, if he were to become the governor, is to reduce crime and support cops. That's his number one priority, which is odd because he almost never talks about this issue. Almost never. In fact, all he's really done as attorney general is kind of quite the opposite of what he says his top priority is going to be. Because this is the guy who wrote a memo to give some political cover to Democrats when they decided to pass all those criminal justice reforms, like banning the vehicular pursuit from officers against, you know, those bad guys who then took advantage of it and created a big old crime crisis that we're still living with. In fact, what I seem to remember coming from Bob Ferguson is, oh, yes, let me now go after cops and try to put them in jail, even if they're clearly frivolous charges. In fact, he keeps losing. Did you notice that? I had a blog out on December 21, 2023, and the title was Bob Ferguson's Political Crusade Against Cops Keep Failing. And in that case, I was talking about the Tacoma PD officers who were charged with the death of Manny Ellis. And then, you'll recall, Bob Ferguson went after Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer. How'd that go? Both those cases, he lost. He was going after them because he wanted to prove that he goes after dirty cops and he's dying to put someone in jail so he can talk directly to the activist base that demands cops just go to jail. These are abolitionists that he is trying to support, that he is trying to convince to go out, knock on doors, be his evangelist. But now he's telling us via King 5, oh, don't worry. I actually support each and every one of our cops, and I'm going to fight in order to get more cops hired, trained, and out on the streets.
Individuals have a right to feel safe in their communities,
yeah,
with their kids, with their loved ones, as they go about their daily lives. And that is a message I've heard, not surprisingly, over and over.
Well, no, he's right. I'm sure he has heard that over and over and over again. Hey, real quick, who was responsible for the soft on crime policies that led to this historic rise of crime?
The left.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose if one for the first time came to Washington State and tuned in to the radio show at that very moment, they're like, well, you're just a partisan. I am partisan. That's true. But there's only one party who has complete control in Olympia, and there is very specific legislation that was not supported by a single Republican that might just be responsible for everything that we're seeing. In fact, just correct the record for me, or correct my, I just can't remember. Which party was the one that was trying to get sex offenders released into communities without even proper security?
That would be liberal politicians.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Y'all were the ones trying to release sex offenders. What say you?
Well, let's be clear. Virtually everybody who is a sexually violent predator at McNeil Island was put there by me and my team. Local law enforcement officials across the state, whether they're Republican prosecutors or Democrats, turn to my office to take on some of the most serious felonies we have across our state.
Oh,
they know they can trust my team to prosecute those folks to the fullest extent of the law. So we are using the powers we have as Attorney General to assist local law enforcement solve cold cases, go after bad actors. Role as governor, what folks can expect is to take that same approach, that same mentality, which is going after the bad actors and holding them accountable. That's been my priority as Attorney General, and that's going to continue as a governor.
How would you do that as governor? What power do you have as governor? Are you going to sue people as governor? That's weird. Hey, just real quickly, why is it that during all of the time where sex offenders were being released, your office didn't step up and say, hey, we spent a lot of hard hours studying up on all of our laws just so we can go in front of that court prepared and put these people behind bars where they belong. Why is it, Democrats, my fellow Democrats, why is it that you're trying to release them? Where were you during all that? It was weird. You're kind of silent. Huh. Hey, Bob, when your party continues to go down that path, when your party promotes a law that goes easy, and I'm not making this up, on drive-by shooters, trying to take away any extra years to a sentence for someone who's convicted in a drive-by shooting, if your party continues, and I expect that they will, to try to get rid of gun enhancement charges while weirdly claiming that they're anti-gun, are you going to speak up and say something? Because you could start right now and call them out. You could literally call them out right now. And while you're at it, can you explain that whole being in favor of drug decriminalization? Because I remember you bragging in an interview to KUOW, of which you still didn't, I guess, get them to take down. You talk about how evolved we all are because we want to, quote unquote, decriminalize drugs and how it's the future. And I can't imagine why people don't see what's going to happen here. It's going to be as successful as it was in Oregon. You said that, but then weirdly, you said this to King 5.
Maddening for parents I've spoken to when they say, Bob, I've got a child who's suffering from addiction. Oh. It took years before they were ready to get treatment. Yeah. Once they were, they told me it's 8 weeks before I get him or her in the door. Yeah. Look, I cannot imagine as a parent having that experience.
No, but you can't imagine the fact that you were kind of responsible for that. You played a role. You did. Where were you when folks in certain cities and counties said, you're really going to take away our legal authority to enforce drug law? Really? Could you maybe reverse that? Where were you asking Democrats to reverse it? I mean, because you seemed kind of concerned there in that little interview in which you got no pushback, at least none that was aired. It's odd. You know, what's interesting to me is that he can say everything that he just said. He can have the history that he has. And yet the reporter, whomever it was, didn't provide any context, didn't provide any pushback, didn't give any fact checks, just nothing. This is what I call a press release story. That's all that this was. This was a press release. This was a political campaign press release. And perhaps they'll do precisely the same thing for Mark Mullett, which I doubt, Dave Reichert, which maybe they will. Sammy Byrd probably won't get in the door. I'm just kind of curious if they'll do exactly the same thing. You see, he doesn't get fact-checked on King 5, which is why he's so happy to sit down and have a conversation with him. He would never come on the show. And in fairness, if I were him, I wouldn't come on the show either, because I will actually ask questions and then follow-ups and then be like, whoa, 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 you just said that, but what about this? Because I have a long list of all the things he has done and said. I actually keep all my notes. I've got thousands of pages of notes, and they're all easily searchable by keywords, which makes me remember, hey, make sure we back up all my notes, because if this computer crashes, I am screwed.
Back up all the notes, especially the menacing violin note.
Well, no, I'm waiting on that. I have not yet received it. This would have been a perfect segment to have a menacing violin underneath me, just saying. He would never come on here. And so what does this mean? Because he's doing this and people are going to presumably watch King 5. I think they get viewers. I don't really know. I don't watch any local TV. But people are going to see that. They might actually believe what he said just then was sincere. They might actually be convinced he actually has a record to back up all of those statements there. So what does that mean? It means you and I have to speak up. That means you and I have to make sure that everybody knows that what he just said is total nonsense. Everyone has to make sure that they post online, text their friends and family members, talk to their neighbors, you know, the right kind. Don't talk to that neighbor. That guy's weird. But talk to everybody else and make sure that they're aware of his record. Not everyone in this state is like you and me, paying attention to the news. In fact, we are the outliers. I said this on Guy Benson's show today. I was on 12:30. His show is live from noon to 3, by the way. And I made the point, the people who are listening, we're all the outliers. Because most people don't pay very close attention to the news. Most people read just a headline. Most people who do catch up on news, it's usually local. And they're spending maybe about 20, 30 minutes a day on it. They'll have it on as they go to bed. That's all that they're doing. That's what they get their news from. That's how they get their news, I should say. And that means they're missing out on all the context, all the honest reporting. And you don't have to point them in my direction. You should, obviously, but you don't have to. Everything I'm saying here about his background, that's not opinion. That's what he said. That's what he did. But I can see why someone would say, I'm not going to listen to that Republican, that conservative. Okay. You can just get some direct quotes. Go to KOW and pull up their website. I mean, he did the interview on drug decriminalization there. No one's going to confuse KOW with a conservative network, right? I mean, it's sickening how liberal they are. But it makes the point. No normal person in this state, except for the hyper-partisans, but no normal person here supports legalizing drugs. No normal person here supports defunding the police. No normal person here looks at the crises that we're dealing with when it comes to crime, homelessness, drug use. No one says, well, that's great news. I support it all the way. I love going into downtown Seattle and taking a big whiff of air and then realizing the stench of urine is so thick I could literally taste it. No one actually enjoys that. And they see what you and I see. So we just have to get the facts in front of them. And when we do that, I think we end up winning these battles. And this is a winnable election. He is not polling where he needs to. He's going to have a lot of money to support him. And so what are we doing to combat that? It's a reasonable question. I just don't know how many people are ready to give an answer or ready to follow up with what the answer really is, which is just getting more involved. It's kind of on us. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So a van crashed into the outdoor seating area of a bar this morning. And the driver was like, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here and get arrested, risk having a blood test or any sort of sobriety test. So he decided to run off. It happened around 5 a.m. at some random bar. And it was
what's the name of this bar?
Some random bar.
But what's the name of the bar?
See, that was the joke that you missed. And you waited too long.
I'm still waiting for the bar.
You just wait. No, you can't save it. You ruined it. And that's partially my fault because I forgot to tell you that was the bit. Folks, because you can't tell yet. Although our video is going to go live soon, I believe next week, so you'll be able to see how I give horrible looks to staff members. The name of the bar is Some Random Bar. And he was supposed to go, and I got in his ear and I said, you can tell because I turned off my mic. I said, say, what's the name of the bar? And then he would say, what's the name? And then I would say, some random bar. And he would go, no, I got it, but what's the name of the bar? And we would do that for probably 11 seconds too long, but it would probably been funny.
Sorry, I ruined it.
Yeah, you ruined it. God, it was half my fault, but because I'm the host, is it any of my fault?
No, exactly. And I also feel like people will be very entertained to see the glares you give me during the show.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes, they will. That's the one thing. I do know that if I turn off my microphone, the camera goes off. So I'll know if I ever really want to protect my image because people think I'm like a jokingly mean person because that's the shtick that I do. I do it in a way that makes it seem plausible that I might be joking, but it's totally serious. Like right now, I'm doing it in a way that might sound like I'm joking. But the truth is, I'm a horrible person who gives horrible looks to people who disappoint me, and I might not want them to see it.
And then you'll see my just coward face, just like, why is he getting mad at me?
Just looks at me and just like, head drops. Oh, poor new producer who's starting on Monday. Oof. Okay, back to the story. So this happened around 5 a.m. at some random bar. Como apparently spoke to a witness, and they said that the van ran a red light, ended up getting into this accident, and then just fleeing. The awning was destroyed, that sort of outdoor. And it's not a patio, but you know how during COVID they had these little, there was like these sidewalk cafes. I can't remember what they were calling them, but that's basically what they were, what we're dealing with here. Really damaged to the point where they're probably not going to be able to open tonight.
We live in the area. We're always walking around here and, you know, even being on the sidewalk, right? What if he turned into the other direction and hit a residential building?
Yeah, what if? He didn't, thank God. But don't know the details as to what happened here. I'm guessing, because it's 5 a.m., that it probably was a drunk driver. But I don't know why he would leave his car there. Unless it was stolen, but then
especially
he wouldn't be drunk.
Especially if it's registered to him.
Yeah, that's my point. So he was either so drunk he didn't think that part through, or it was a stolen van and he just happened to get into an accident and decided to run off.
If it was a Kia, we would know exactly it wasn't his van.
That's the thing. That's why I'm thrown. Now, they don't give us the make or model. It could be a Kia or Hyundai. I don't know if they make quote-unquote vans. They don't really say what kind of van it is.
Kia... I know they used to. I think they still do.
So is a van, is that an SUV? What is a van?
A van to me is something that has the slidable door in the back.
Now, is that an SUV?
No, it's a van.
But is it also an SUV? What's an SUV then? Because
a sport utility vehicle.
Yeah, but what does that mean? They all, to me, I call them all vans, or like I use the term interchangeably. So you're saying a van has a sliding door. An SUV has a traditional door.
Correct.
All the time?
Yes.
Is that official? Because I've never...
I mean, I don't know the exact definition officially by car brand, but that's how I distinctify it in my mind.
Distinctify is not a word, just distinct.
Distinguish whatever.
Hyundai, I think, has a... doesn't it? I think Hyundai has a sliding door.
I don't know what their van's called, like the model of it at all. I've never seen one.
But I'm just saying they don't tell us the make or model, so we're kind of going off of just a van. And it's possible that the person who wrote this story for, I think it was Como, right? The person who wrote it has as much knowledge about vans versus SUVs than I do. And that's not boding well for that person.
Then we're all just sitting here waiting.
Yeah. If someone wants to send me a text and answer the question, it's 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So this is actually kind of interesting because no one's really talking about it. In fact, I don't think anyone outside of the stations in this building has made this point. Washington hasn't had as many people receiving unemployment checks as they do right now since September of 2021. What was happening in September of 2021? We were a year and a half into COVID at that point.
We were in the peak and the fallout of it.
Yeah, we probably, was it the peak?
The peak of restrictions and
close.
The fight.
It was in that world, right? So in that realm. Which is, of course, you know, at that point, you're like, well, okay, I understand why we have a high unemployment rate at that point, because, you know, COVID has shut down our economy thanks to Democrats' unscientific rules about COVID. But right now, we have matched that. Well, we're not in COVID right now at all, right? So why is it that applications for unemployment have risen 5 months in a row in Washington state? The last unemployment rate that we got last month, 4.7%, which is nearly 1% higher than the national average. And yet I'm always told about the strength of the Washington economy. Oh, it's so amazing. Our economy is thriving. And certainly if you work in certain industries, you could have said that. A little less so now with tech. It's not thriving the way that it once was. Hospitality kind of is, I think mostly because it's growing from where it was during COVID. If you work in health, that industry is adding jobs. If you work in government, you're definitely adding jobs. That's what the government does, unfortunately, just add job after job after job, then complain they can't afford it. Why is no one talking about this? First of all, hashtag Bidenomics, but why isn't anyone talking about this? And I sincerely am asking that question because this would be the kind of news you would expect that – you know, newspapers of record, whether we're talking about the Times or Spokesman Review. What? Okay.
My guess is the reason why people are sitting there collecting unemployment checks.
No. That's not my question.
Oh.
I know why people are collecting unemployment checks. They don't have a job.
Well, not that part, but I'm saying why they're doing that compared to getting a job is because A, they're lazy, or B, they could collect more in unemployment checks than they would make at a minimum wage job.
So That was certain. I don't know if that's still true. That was 100% true.
That's just a guess. I don't know that as an answer.
It's less true now than it was before, because before you were getting additional COVID-related perks. So probably not going to be the case. I actually believe these numbers, because specifically the industries that seen the most job cuts, construction, retail, and they just say jobs and information. I don't know what that means. Ironically, I don't have information on what that means. But the construction and retail, that part's really important, right? So construction was booming, and then it stopped booming. People started to say, well, do I really want to spend all of this money developing a residential property in a place like Seattle? And I remember, because people don't know how this works, but when I was calling out the crime crisis around the time of September of 2021 and throughout that year and the year after, I would get a whole bunch of people who would send me notes on Twitter at the time saying, to bolster the claim that I was just making everything up and that Seattle is thriving, was that, don't you see all the cranes in this? Yeah, I see all those cranes. There were a ton of cranes. You do understand that those projects, like, they get funded years and years and years in advance, and it takes a long time to get to that point. And once they start building, generally speaking, they don't just stop. Sometimes they do, but generally that's not how it works. But now you really don't see many cranes up anymore, do you? Whether we're talking about Seattle or Tacoma, Spokane, even Bellevue. Bellevue, a little bit different because not that much space to develop anymore. But you just don't really see that. And I think that that's directly related to a number of issues, including crime, homelessness, drug use, the cost of doing business in a place like Seattle or just Washington State in general. And when you lose those jobs, when you're no longer doing those kinds of jobs, well, construction jobs pay a lot of money. And now that's money that's out of the local economy. It's not being spent at the coffee shop or the retail shop, especially at that retail shop. And guess what happens? Well, retail shops start laying people off, which is exactly what the note said. That's exactly what all this data tells us. And no one seems to be wanting to talk about it. We're in the middle of an election cycle. You would really think that they would start bringing this up. It's very odd. And I sincerely ask that question. I legitimately do not know why more media outlets don't mention this news. It almost makes me wonder if I got it wrong. But I didn't. I double-checked it. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we're going to get to the big local. Don't forget, our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, wants you to know the IRS is going after old cases. If you owe money, if you received a CP-504 form, do not ignore it. Call Greg Nunn of Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Google N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution.
How not to be the victim of a home invasion robbery. We'll talk with super secret security expert Mike at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning on the Brian Suit Show.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, it's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. Means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore the stories coming out of Seattle and instead focus on the communities that you live in and care about most. We start again in Renton, unincorporated part near Renton. It's just more sad news from the tragic crash from the other day. It left 4 people dead, 3 people in critical condition. Now, police suspect a car crash that led to all of this was the driver was 18 years old. We don't really have any additional details, at least that I've seen yet. But King County Sheriff's Office says an 18-year-old driver was responsible. He's currently in the hospital, so he has not yet been arrested, although he has been put under I believe they have someone who's there monitoring 24/7 from the sheriff's office. But as importantly, he hasn't yet been charged here. And I presume because he is in critical condition, I think he's one of the 3 in critical condition, they're taking a little bit more time to get the evidence correct so that they can quickly move once he's able to be released from the hospital. They have a little bit of extra time. But we were telling you, we were trying to find out a little bit more information on who was killed. And we can tell you, as we did yesterday, a 38-year-old woman, a 13-year-old girl, and then two 12-year-olds, one as a girl, one as a boy. Some of them are, in fact, related to one another. And that was what we suspected would be the case, because it's just, this was one of those stories where it felt like it was just going to get worse and worse and worse. There were multiple cars involved, so not everyone's related to one another. 38-year-old Andrea Hudson was one of those who was killed. Her sister, Melanie, spoke with Cairo 7 TV.
I don't know if I can put it into words, but the world is definitely going to miss Andrea a lot. It's not going to be quite the same without her.
Her two kids, Nolan and Charlotte, were seriously injured in the crash, but they are recovering. Understand, though, they're recovering and finding out very quickly that they're going to have to live the rest of their lives without a mother because of something that this 18-year-old driver apparently did. We can also tell you that the three kids who were killed were identified, and two are directly related to each other. They're sisters, the 12-year-old Eloise Wilcoxon and then the 13-year-old Matilda. And then there was also a 12-year-old boy. He's been identified as Boyd Brown. Now, we're getting more and more information as to who they were, their families, what this is going to do to the communities that they were serving. And, you know, it always feels like when we get these kinds of accidents, it's like the kindest, nicest people end up becoming victims. And it's unfortunate. And now you've left, you know, families devastated emotionally. But then when we're talking about the families that have been left behind, like a parent dies, or talking about just the finances around the healthcare for the people who survived, I mean, you end up getting into a really big financial mess very quickly. And so GoFundMe pages have been set up. They're available on our sister's website, mynorthwest.com. You know, the one thing when something like this happens, people do have a tendency to come together and support in the best way that they can. And for most people, it's kind of easy to give $5. For some, they could give $500, and they raised a ton of money so far. So I'm really proud of the community for stepping up in a big way. And again, as we get more details on this story, we'll deliver them to you. Meanwhile, in Edmonds, a mobile pet clinic had its one big piece of equipment stolen, the literal mobile pet clinic, the actual car, the vehicle. It's more than a car, in fact. And they say over at the Seattle Veterinary Outreach, Rochelle Raj, she's the director, she said to our sister station, Cairo News Radio, it should be pretty easy to spot this car.
It's a big ambulance,
yeah.
Right? A big red ambulance with our Seattle Veterinary Outreach all over it. And then it says on there, for veterinary care for pets of people living homeless.
Yeah, see, they go around and they help the pets who have homeless owners. They think the crooks who took the ambulance, they think they thought there were drugs inside. And yes, when you are a drug addict, it can be so bad that you're willing to take medication that otherwise would be used on animals. And sometimes, by the way, it is the same drug or very similar in some drugs, not all of them. Don't take dewormer thinking you're going to get high. I don't think that'll work. I'm assuming, as much as it probably is easy to find this thing, probably has already been stripped for parts. That's my guess. Probably already been sold. Or usually when we get stories like this, there is a tendency to just leave the car on the side of the road, or in this case, the ambulance on the side of the road, once you realize, oh, I'm not going to be able to get all the drugs that I thought was in here. So maybe that ends up happening, and maybe they'll get lucky in this case and there won't be a tremendous amount of damage. Every once in a while, those kinds of stories happen. And I say that in this case, I'm really hoping for that because I like dogs. And I always feel bad for the homeless dogs because they're strays. Are they still considered strays if they have an owner who's homeless? I feel like that's a valid question that no one wants to answer because it might be politically incorrect.
I wouldn't call them strays, but I'd say they might be in the health condition of a stray.
Some of them are weird. So the weird thing is, Some of the homeless people care, obviously, very deeply about their animals. I've seen some that don't seem to care all that much. But this is their companion. Some cases, their only companion. And so sometimes they forego eating so that their dog can get it, or they'll split it with their dog. And their dog is usually, at least from appearances, they're usually seem pretty healthy. At least that's what I tell myself. Because otherwise, if it's a deeply unhealthy dog, I'm just going to feel sad. I've never heard of this town. I had to look it up. Cusick, Washington? Cusick? C-U-S-I-C-K. Have you ever heard of that place?
I have not, but based on that spelling, I'd say Cusick.
Cusick, right. Well, that's why I said that first.
I know.
You know, I could be wrong, though. I never... It's in eastern Washington. It's kind of... I don't know how close it is to Newport, but it's north of Newport, Spokane, north of that area, probably about 45-minute drive away. It's a little town, but a man has put Cusick on the map for what he decided to do. Allegedly, he went to Flathead Indian Reservation in Montana to help kill thousands of birds and eagles and then sell the feathers and body parts on the black market. Now, this was one of those stories that as I consumed it, it came from the AP. I was just learning more and more and more about an industry I did not know existed, right? I know black markets exist and you can get some really crazy stuff, I imagine, but I did not know, according to the AP, they say there is a persistent and thriving illegal trade in eagle feathers. The AP says a grand jury indictment last December quotes defendant Travis John Branson of Cusick, Washington, saying in a January 2021 text that he was going to go on a quote-unquote killing spree to obtain eagle tails. Branson and a second defendant, Simon Paul, again, this is according to AP, killed approximately 3,600 birds, including eagles, on the Flathead Reservation and elsewhere, according to the indictment. Federal authorities have not disclosed how the birds were killed, nor were ever else the killings occurred. They had an error in their article. And that part's kind of interesting to me, because if you're obviously, you want the animal, the bird, to be in as good of shape as possible if you're going to sell body parts or the feathers. I imagine that would not then include a firearm. Would it maybe be poison?
It's either poison or trap so that you can, unfortunately, hand kill the bird. But yeah, poison, if you're not working for the meat of the animal, poison would be the way to go.
At that point, you don't really care. They say Branson sold to an unidentified purchaser two sets of golden eagle tail feathers, which are highly prized among many Native American tribes. They sold it for $650 in March of 2021. Now, does this imply that it's the Native American tribes that are purchasing these on the black market?
I wouldn't say...
It kind of implies that they're high. I don't. Why else would you say highly prized?
Unidentifiable purchaser, though.
But they say highly prized among many Native American tribes, and he was doing this on Native land.
They might not be associated with them. They might be Native by heritage.
Okay, you know what are they?
I'm just trying to dodge speculation, unless we know.
That's all we do is speculate when we don't know. That's what we're supposed to do. It said, I'm kidding. Less than 2 weeks later, law enforcement stopped Branson on the reservation and found in his vehicle the feet and feathers of a golden eagle he had shot. There you go. Near Polson, Montana, according to filings that included a photo of the bird's severed feet with their massive talons. The bird's carcass had been, quote unquote, cleaned by the second defendant, Simon Paul, and was found in a nearby field. Multiple phones were seized by authorities during that stop, yielded photos and text messages that describe, quote, the shooting, killing, and ultimate selling of bald and golden eagles throughout the United States. Branson, who remained free following the indictment, reached a deal with prosecutors last month to plead guilty on four counts, conspiracy, wildlife trafficking, and two counts of trafficking in federally protected bald and golden eagles. I believe last evening, early evening, he put in officially the plea deal. It was the official proceeding. So I'm going to follow up on this because I am kind of curious where this ends up going. I want to know how much time he's going to spend. And I found myself yesterday taking a deep dive into the illegal feather market. And It's trippy. I didn't realize it was as big, and people really like the talons. Like they, it's for jewelry purposes sometimes.
The reason why it's a good black market if the general populace doesn't know about it.
I don't know if maybe people, I feel like that's something people would buy just to put it like on a necklace or something.
Yeah, but if more people know about it, that's risking higher infiltration by law enforcement.
Well, sure. I'm just saying if it wasn't illegal is what I meant.
If it wasn't illegal, it wouldn't be a black market.
Yes, I know. I'm speculating as to what would happen if it wasn't illegal and people would be killing bald eagles left and right for their talons. That's all. That's all I was saying. And then finally, Matt Driscoll wrote a truly unnecessarily long article about a bookstore in Lakewood that people there are upset will be taken down and replaced with a housing complex. And it's one of those stories where, yet again, it's like a mixture of two conflicting issues. Like on the one hand, you're complaining about a lack of housing. And then on the other hand, when you've got a new housing property going up, just a regular apartment building, well, all of a sudden they're all like, oh my gosh, how dare you take away this bookstore? It's a Barnes & Noble. When I read the story, I was thinking to myself, oh, maybe it's one of the, you know, the last independent bookshops that like people pretend to care about, but
like
they
a
don't.
Mom and pop shop that you would hate to see go.
It's just a giant Barnes and Noble.
Aren't those already getting phased out?
I thought that they were too. I'm only aware of two others, although weirdly, this is the one that did carry my book. All the Barnes and Nobles that we looked up on their website, every single one in Washington State carried at least two copies of my book, except the only one in Seattle, which is rather large.
I could only wonder why.
Like, seriously? It would have been nice to go into a bookshop here and see my book, What's Killing America? Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our Cities. If you buy it, I get paid. Thank you. Just to get a little photo of it. And the only time I was able to see my book on shelves is out of state. I've not seen it on a single shelf here. I know it's for sale at Barnes & Noble because we went on the website and they still had some in stock. This was early on. But it was cool when I walked into the Barnes & Noble in on right by Times Square. It wasn't Times Square. It was like three blocks away, basically. And I went down into the political section, and there it was. And you know what I did? Say, what did you do, Jason?
What did you do, Jason?
Something incredibly petty and mean to the other author who I didn't even pay attention to because I took my book some more from the shelves because it was on, you know how they have those little displays where they just pick random books that are supposed to be popular and people will get them, and those are the ones you pay attention to first because you can't find all the books on the shelves. When you go to the shelves, you're looking for something specific. So I put my book, I took them from the shelves and covered the whole table. I put like three of my covers on top of other piles.
Did you see a boost in sales?
I can't tell from one store, and it was only like four books in total that I put up. I'm assuming though it was a wild success, and my book would have sold even better had I gone to every single bookstore and cheated the system that way. It is on sale right now for $18.99 over at Amazon. I will say this, though, by the way. Barnes & Noble, they never put my book on sale. They kept it at like $30 this entire time, and even I wouldn't buy my book for $30. But $18.99, that's a steal. That's as low as it is now because we sold so many copies over at Amazon. So, you know, go there now if you want to buy it. It's the Jason Rancher. Don't forget the weekly video update brought to you by your local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn of Nunn Better Tax Resolution. We take you through the ridiculous lies being told about illegal immigrant crime. We come back, you get to pick the news. Story number one, Stormy Daniels compares Trump supporters who harass her to suicide bombers. Oh, my God. Or story number two, a student persuaded by his friend to get his legs amputated for a $1.3 million insurance scam wound up getting a whole lot less. Which story should we discuss? 1-800-465-8770.
You pick the topic on the Jason Rance Show.
Indeed you do. Although I almost wasn't even able to get onto this stupid website because I kept getting an alarm, an alert that says I have to pay. I've used up my free article views. I've never gone to Business Insider, so I don't know how I've used up anything. But I figured it out. Everyone relax. They write, a university student in Taiwan who had his legs amputated in hopes of receiving $1.3 million insurance payout has been arrested on suspicion of fraud, according to local prosecutors. who say the 23-year-old, identified only by his last name, Zhang, plunged his feet in a bucket of dry ice for more than 10 hours to get them so badly frostbitten that he would need a double amputation, according to the Taiwan Criminal Investigation Bureau. They said a friend of Zhang's from high school, identified only as Lau, persuaded him to carry out the insurance scam. Now, there's got to be some mental health issue here, right? I get that people will do anything for $1 million. Not this. That's like insane. So something had to be wrong with him to be able to be convinced to do something like this. Lau, who is also 23 years old, suffered losses from trading cryptocurrency, and he tricked Zhang into signing a legal note obligating him to pay about $800,000. So they're saying that this was actually not mental health. It was like, wow, he was being basically almost, I don't know if it counts as blackmailed, but scammed into it. Local media outlet Taiwan News reported that Lau and Zhang told Zhang that gangsters were pursuing him. So on January 26th of last year, they rode around Taipei on a motorbike at night wanting to present the claim that Zhang was afflicted with frostbite while riding the vehicle late in the evening. Just days before, Zhang bought several expensive policies for life insurance, travel insurance, and accident insurance. You know, guys, if you're going to, again, I'm not giving you a tip. However, if I were going to commit a scam like this, I wouldn't get the insurance and then do whatever it is I was going to do the next day. You're supposed to wait. Like, eventually, when I'm married, I'm going to get a big life insurance and then kill my spouse. But I'm not going to do it like the day after I get the, why are you giving me that look? I'm being honest.
It's a terrible plot. But
you don't do it the next day.
No,
you wait.
You wait for the heat to cool down.
Well, I would argue you probably, this has to be a long game kind of thing. I would wait a year or two, maybe even more, even if I'm unhappy. Just because that's just, you're going to get caught otherwise. But I mean, I'm not recommending people do that. And I'm not going to do
that. But if you were.
But if you would, no. They say after their motorbike ride, Zhang soaked his feet in dry ice and was admitted to the hospital. So just real quick, why'd you do the motorcycle bike if you're going to put your legs in the dry ice? Why not just skip to the dry ice? What would you just wanted to go on, see if it would work, and it didn't? Why would you think you'd get frostbite that bad just riding on a motorcycle at night? It's not that cold. It's weird.
You'd have to be in like sub-zero temperatures to get frostbite within that short period of time.
Medical staff sensed something was amiss while assessing him. His legs bore no shoe or sock marks, and his injuries appeared symmetrical, which were inconsistent with a naturally occurring frostbite injury, according to investigators. The weather on the night of January 26 was also nowhere close to below freezing, with its coldest temperature at about 42 degrees. That cold? 42 degrees? We'd be all like, hey, it's kind of usually warm this time of year at 42. Taiwan is a subtropical region, cases of severe frostbite requiring amputation are unheard of due to natural climatic conditions. You know, this is really where AI comes in handy. You know, go to ChatGPT and say, hey, if I were thinking about committing this kind of fraud, what would be a way that I can do so without, you know, arising the suspicions of clinicians or investigators? And I'm sure it could spit out, actually, why don't you write that prompt down? I'm going to look it up
later.
Put
that in the notes.
They say when police investigated Zhang and Lau in November, they found the plastic bucket used to freeze Zhang's feet, insurance documents, a white box for dry ice, the polystyrene, however you say that, eight mobile phones and a tablet computer. Why do they need eight? Lau and Zhang were arrested on January 17th and are both now charged with fraud. You know what? I feel like one should get a little bit of time off for this scam, alleged scam, because he did lose his feet. And it does sound like he was manipulated into this. He was still a willing participant, and, you know, he should suffer some consequences. But I would not give them the same punishment.
Your punishment is the loss of your limbs, right? Without compensation.
Local media reported that Zhang had claimed only $7,200 from one insurer, but his money would be seized. They only got, oh my God. Okay. That's a nutty story. 1-800, and now it's weird. I'm weirdly depressed by that. And I shouldn't be, but I am. 1-800-465-8770 for your text. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.
How not to be the victim of a home invasion robbery. We'll talk with super secret security expert Mike at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning on The Brian Suit Show.